Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 37. We're getting very close to episode 40, Tom.
Over the hill.
Yeah, and far away. Not quite sure what we're going to do to celebrate. Probably similar to episode 30, where we forget until we're sitting here.
Sure.
Yeah,
that's enough.
That's fine. That's cool.
Birthdays are for other people to remember.
Exactly. By the way, I like your cap, your baseball cap today.
Thanks.
It's very cool.
It's black and red.
Yeah, LA. Mm. They don't usually, I've not never seen them in black and red.
I have many hats.
I hope this one is from LA. Like, literally, you bought it in LA.
No, I bought it in Sydney. But I think it had been sent from LA.
Okay, that counts. Yeah. Totally counts. We've got a really fun quiz. It's got nothing to do with LA. It's got something to do with New York.
Okay.
That's the only clue I'm going to give you for this point in time.
I need to get in a New York state of mind.
That's right. Mm. Yes, Jay-Z and Alicia Keys.
Yep.
And we'll have heaps of news. We've watched a lot of stuff independently.
True that.
And with our powers combined, that should make a whole entire podcast.
Voltron.
First up, I saw that Gordon Ramsay's got a new show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for National Geographic Channel. It's called Gordon Ramsay Uncharted.
Oh.
Got nothing to do with Nathan Drake at all or Naughty Dog. He'll go all around the world, stop in, cook against local chefs, and both of them have to use local ingredients. This, to me, does not sound like a new idea.
No.
I'm pretty sure. Now, he's on the American Food Network, and his name's like Bobby something. I'm sure I've seen him do it. I've seen other
Bobby
chefs
Flay?
Do it. Yeah, I've
Doesn't
seen Bobby
Flay. He's got beat Bobby Flay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the same thing, but he gets to travel.
And swear.
Oh, he's going to swear like there's no tomorrow. So that's, I assume, out soonish.
Yeah.
Because why else would they do a media release? I just get jealous every time I hear cooking and travel show.
Sure. It sounds like a lot of fun.
All the things you love and getting paid to do it.
Nat Geo, they announced a couple of shows and they've got another one that I'm quite excited for.
Yeah, which one?
It's called The Curiosity of Jeff Goldblum. And would you like to guess what it's about?
Oh, please tell me it's him narrating a whole heap of almost like myth-bustery stuff.
No, I think it's just him walking around looking at mundane things and being curious.
Amazing.
Just finding out about stuff.
So why do we not like to step on the gap on a footpath? That kind of thing, perhaps it could be.
It might be that. It might just be like, how do flowers work?
How do they work?
Well, Jeff's going to find out and let us know.
That does sound good. And simply because Jeff Goldblum's there, people are going to watch.
Yeah. Well, he's recently had a series on Funny or Die, cooking with Jeff, and it's just been 15 minutes of him rambling, walking around a supermarket, talking to the staff there about brie. Like, seriously, he goes and serenades a cheese guy about brie.
Well, maybe what he can do in his new program is tell us what is the difference between brie and camembert, because I've got no idea.
Sure.
For me, it tastes the same.
I know which one Swiss is. It's got holes.
Yeah, that's a Swiss cheese. I always want to say Swiss cheese.
Swiss cheese.
I was wrong. But yeah, camembert and brie. Someone in France will shout the answer. They'll probably be able to hear it from here.
They're both nice.
Yeah, I like both of them.
They're creamy.
Cheese is delicious.
You could smush them together.
Exactly. What other shows have you looked into as coming out? Because I've got a couple, actually.
Sure. Well, look, there's Venture Brothers is coming back, season 7.
Mm, cool. Season 7.
Yes. Yeah, so they've been going a long, long time, but they don't drop seasons very often anymore. Only every couple of years.
They're doing the Jennifer Saunders thing with Absolutely Fabulous just whenever she feels like it.
Yeah, well, it's all, you know, it's all very tightly controlled by the people that run it and stuff like that. They don't let other people come in and play and stuff like that. So
which is good.
Yeah, makes it very pure.
Yeah, exactly. That little nugget of idea doesn't go awry.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
They confirmed that season 5 of Fear the Walking Dead is happening.
It is it?
So that's...
That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, this season's been pretty good, although we're only halfway through.
Yeah, but it comes back in like 2 weeks.
We've got to get ready.
Yeah.
See what happens later with the vultures.
Yes, and who's going to take charge of the team now? With Madison gone.
I don't want it to be Morgan because he's going to go Morgan-y. Surely he's going to revert back to his Morgan ways.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And if Alicia's going to want to be.
Yeah, they're going to push her.
But she's about 17, I think, in the show.
No, thanks. Netflix.
No.
We are the Watchers. Now, the voice cracked.
Hi, I'm the voiceover guy, and I've had enough. Toodaloo.
I saw that Netflix are doing an adaptation of... Well, you know how they've been quite good with those true crime shows? Mm. Like, I think the biggest one a few years ago was Making a Murderer. They've had Keeper's Staircase, The Staircase, Evil Genius, I think, was recently.
Sure.
So they've secured the rights to stream an adaptation of Dirty John, which was sort of an investigative podcast. Okay. Very popular, in fact. It was released last October and they had 10 million downloads within like the first 6 weeks of its release. So people were really interested in this story. It's a true story of a con man and his love affair with a lady. Apparently they met via internet dating, and then there's like manipulation, who was being abused, that sort of thing. So that's going to be done, but as a drama.
Okay.
You got Eric Bana in it.
Sure.
And Connie Britton, she was from Friday Night Lights in Nashville. Her. So yeah, should be interesting.
Nice.
See what happens with that one.
So it's called Dear John.
Yeah, exactly. Dear
that's
John.
That's an interesting name. That's what
Dirty John, sorry. Dirty John.
John. Okay.
Yeah.
So a Dear John letter was what you got when you were at war, and it's your missus saying,
"That's right,
I've hooked up with the neighbour."
It's a bit awkward, isn't it? Yeah.
Sorry, I got confused there. Dirty John.
Dirty John.
Well, that sounds
Eric
even
Bana.
More salacious.
I know. Interesting that Eric Banner's sort of doing more stuff back in the US, because he's been a bit quiet over there recently.
Sure.
He's done a few things in Australia, a couple of movies. I think he was on the production side of things,
mm-hmm.
Came back here and did them. But, yeah, back into big Hollywood.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Netflix have bought a few things recently.
Yeah.
They've got a couple. Oh, they're buying things all the time. We know that. But they're trying to buy bigger blockbuster sort of movies and bring them. And they've secured the rights for Mowgli, which is another Jungle Book adaptation. But it's been one that's been coming for several years, directed by Andy Serkis.
All right.
Yes. And he's... doing the motion capture and playing Baloo. Benedict Cumberbatch as Shere Khan,
Tiger.
Yeah, there's some very cool. I think Kate Blanchett is Kaa the Snake.
Well, Kate Blanchett, she'd be perfect with that.
Yeah, so it's meant to be very, very dark and much closer to Kipling's original story.
Which is great.
Yes, rather than there's no, no singing, no dancing.
Oh, there's not going to be any amazing hits in there.
Look for those. Yep. None of that sort of stuff. But that's a really big deal because, it was a race between that and Jungle Book that Jon Favreau did for Disney as to who'd come out first.
Mm.
With Disney behind it, obviously that one did. And so the circus one, they decided to wait a little while,
mm-hmm.
and work more on the special effects and this sort of stuff. And so that way it's not quite as much of a direct competition.
It's kind of good that they're going the darker route because of that reason.
Yeah, we've seen plenty of light takes on it.
Yeah, get the adults in there watching it.
Mm, so that's easily the biggest budget thing that Netflix has gotten yet.
Well, the names alone of who's cast, I mean, sort of indicates that it's a pretty big deal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm pretty pumped for that.
Look, speaking of big names, I saw that Amazon Studios have greenlit quite a few dramas, but the one that interested me was called The Expatriates.
Right.
From Nicole Kidman's Blossom Films Productions.
Okay.
Yeah. It's based on a best-selling novel by Janice Y.K. Lee, and it's sort of being adapted by screenwriter Alice Bell. Now, Amazon Studios said that the story weaves an addictive tapestry that follows a group of complex women and their lives as outsiders in Hong Kong, so expats.
Okay.
I don't know when it's going to be set. Could be set now, but I would imagine expats in Hong Kong may be more interesting if it was set sort of in the 80s and early 90s exactly. But we'll see. It's sort of only just been announced.
Sure, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I know.
Nice work, Nicole.
No word if Nicole's in it yet, but she's done quite a lot of TV and stuff recently. Well, not quite a lot, but, some big name TV productions, so it's potentially...
At least cameo her.
Please,
get her in
put
there.
Her in there.
If it's set in the 80s, she could, digitally de-young herself or whatever it is.
Just get drive past her, ride past her on a BMX.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd be awesome. So there's a new Terminator with Arnie, and apparently it's going to go pretty much back to the end of Terminator 2 and continue there and pretend that 3, 4, 5 didn't happen.
Oh, so this is the one with Linda Hamilton.
Yes.
So she's back as well.
Yes.
What do we do with Edward Furlong?
Bye.
Okay.
Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. The last thing I'd seen him in was Terminator 2.
Yeah, and I just... I think it's much more interesting to continue her story because you can have Kyle be any age jumping around. You can have John be any age jumping around, this sort of stuff. She needs to be set because, you know, she doesn't skip through time. She's
no.
That's
she's sort of the constant in the time continuum. Yeah.
So I think it's a great idea to center it back around her.
Interesting.
Because she, like, can you imagine how crazy badass she's going to be at this age? The difference between Terminator 1 and 2.
Oh, they were stark differences.
Yeah, she was ready. Mm. And so if she spent the last 25, something, would it come out 92, 93?
Yeah, I think we can be close, happy saying 25 years for sure.
So she's going to be like crazy Catwoman, but really good with knives.
Geez, I want to see how big her arms are. They were very toned in Terminator 2, I remember.
Do you reckon she'll train with Madonna?
Well, she might train with Arnie.
Nice. Nice. You remember a few months ago I was really enjoying James Cameron's stories of science fiction.
Speaking of Terminator 2,
yes.
James Cameron, yeah.
Well, they have announced a sequel series to that, but it is Eli Roth's History of Horror.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
I'm so excited for this. I think it's coming just in time for Halloween, so probably premiere early October or something.
That's
along
not that far off.
It's not long
this
away.
Year is hurtling past.
And the science fiction ones were great because it showed, you know, they do really cool. Like there was one segment that was talking about Frankenstein and the way that Frankenstein then informed Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. But if you look at The Fly, the Cronenberg film with Jeff Goldblum, then that's a perfect fusion of Frankenstein and Jekyll and Hyde because he's got the hubris to try and create life around God or, you know, teleportation, you know, mess with physics and God. But at the same time, he transforms himself into the monster, which is the Jekyll and Hyde story. Just really,
yeah, good point.
Really clever ways of showing the stories we enjoy now and the kind of the mythology that we have now is fusing stories that have come before.
There's mythology there.
Yeah.
And it's not even that old.
And so I'm really pumped for a horror version of that because
that'll be good.
Horror has existed a whole lot longer than science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
We've got horror, you know. Going back to cave paintings, this sort of stuff of monsters, the things that would attack us. So it'd be really interesting to see a deep dive psychological analysis of
should
fear.
Be good. Now, do you remember how many episodes are in the sci-fi version?
There's six.
So we can imagine getting another six.
Yeah, and the sci-fi ones were aliens, time travel, robotics, this sort of stuff.
Yep.
So I can imagine this one will be, there'll probably be monsters, ghosts.
Vampires, potentially? Would you throw vampires in the horror?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
But I think it's more going to be whether it's, you know, vampires, ghosts, werewolves.
Were-jaguars.
Were-jaguars. But if they theme them around monster or whether it's a broader thing like thriller, slasher. Because, you know, your Jason, your Michael Myers, they don't fit in the same category as your Dracula.
No.
You know what I mean? They're
the horror monster killer. Is a human, yeah.
And then where does Freddy Krueger fit in? The dreamscape?
Yeah, it's all in your head.
Yeah.
Or is
so
it?
Excited
yeah,
for this.
No, that'll be good. That'll be good. Any word as to when? Is that the next year sort of
no,
thing?
So this will be
in
time
for... Oh, so it's this Halloween?
This Halloween.
Oh, wow.
Well, look, I don't think they take particularly long to throw together because the science fiction ones was just James Cameron sitting around talking with other directors and other, you know, Mila Jovovich talking about Resident Evil or Arnie talking about Terminator and Predator and things like that. So and then cut together with footage from the films. So I imagine that once this thing sort of gets greenlit, then they just sit down and record for a couple of days
goes.
And then... editing booth for a month or two.
You've got people who can talk and who are experts on the topics.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So I think I would put $100 on the table right now that Jamie Lee Curtis is going to feature very heavily.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's the true scream queen.
She's almost the horror sweetheart or sweetheart of the horror genre.
Big time.
Mm. How can you not?
I know.
Nice podcast. They make them for men.
What other news have you got?
Another thing that got me pretty amped was the trailer that dropped for a movie coming called First Man.
What's First Man about? I haven't seen it. Well, obviously, I haven't seen the movie, but the trailer.
Ryan Gosling as Neil Armstrong. Action.
How was I not even aware that this was getting made?
I don't know. I didn't either. But it looked pretty darn sweet.
Now,
it looks like Apollo 13-ish of like the realistic setting of
yeah, cool. Yeah, cool.
Trying something different.
That was a very successful movie.
Yeah.
Had a Tom Hanks in there. A Ryan Gosling may be your equivalent for this.
Who's the Gary Sinise?
I want to know if Buzz Aldrin offered to play himself.
Oh, you know
he
Buzz
would,
had a feedback.
He would have been super keen to get involved in it somehow. Well, that's cool.
Yeah. They haven't, I'm sure it was in the trailer, but I didn't see who was playing Buzz.
Okay.
It looks really high production value. Mm. I don't know. I don't think it's going to go quite Gravity level of that. I think it's more about the actually getting into the rocket and going.
About whether they were going to make it, whether they were going to land.
Whether they were going to blast off from Earth successfully.
The whole thing. That'll be exciting. And now that I think about it, it's strange that it's taken this long for a big budget film that just focuses on that to come out.
Well, next year it would be the 50th anniversary.
Makes sense. 50 years.
50 years. Why'd we stop?
Shout out to Parks and their telescope. Played a large part in it.
Oh, Corey Stoll is playing Buzz Aldrin. Corey Stoll, you probably don't remember from Ant-Man 1. He was Yellowjacket, the bad guy. He's also on The Strain.
He was in Girls. He was in Girls, Newsroom.
House of Cards.
No, House of Cards. Sorry. Yeah, House of Cards, not Newsroom. Yeah,
he's been floating around a while. He's getting some good plays.
Going to get a big name.
Yeah. So,
Mr. Corey.
What about you? You got any more news? That's my last news.
Well, the news that I've got is that I was sort of looking on Twitter and people were referring to the fact that obviously Orange is the New Black Season 6 came out over the weekend and people, I'm sure, have finished all of it. I haven't yet. I kind of like to watch that in smaller doses.
Sure.
Not because it's heavy, but it does have heavy elements in it. It's just that it's one of those shows I like to enjoy, maybe one a day kind of thing. But people were talking about the fact that next season is the last. And I went, I haven't heard that. So I had a bit of a look around, which was difficult. I had to tread very carefully because I haven't finished this season.
Yep.
To go anywhere near Twitter with Orange is the New Black as a hashtag, man, I was asking for trouble. Managed to not spoil it for myself. But I did see that, there were a couple of articles that I stumbled across that were referring to the fact that next season will be the last. Now, one example they were talking about, the producers were saying that, okay, so Piper was sentenced to about, I think, 13 months in prison,
okay.
I think. And they said at the time of the riot, at the end of the whole of last season, she was 10 months in. So give her this season and next, that probably will get them to 13 months and then the whole show can just finish. And seven seasons is pretty standard for a popular TV show these days.
Sure.
Think about Mad Men was seven. How many was Lost?
Six.
Yeah, see, all around that magic marker.
Yeah.
So make the most of it because it's not going to be here for much longer. I also hear that Wentworth has got an end.
How many episodes a season does Orange do? Is it 13?
I think it's 13, yeah.
Because that's odd, because that puts them at 97 episodes.
Oh, you talking about the Magic 100?
Yeah, getting the syndication.
Hmm.
Maybe there was a double episode somewhere.
But
it's Netflix, and they're not looking at shopping it around for syndication, so I guess it doesn't matter.
It's always on their own streaming site. Although it is broadcast here on Foxtel as well.
Sure.
Which I think was a deal that Foxtel carefully cemented in place before Netflix came out to Australia. But you'd look, the first episode of Orange is the... No, Orange, I know. I tell you what, some of the storylines, you watch it, and even though it's definitely told in a completely different way, you think, Wentworth had that storyline, or Orange is the New Black had that storyline, but I guess there's only a certain amount of storylines that you can have in a women's prison.
Sure.
But they're in a new prison now,
yes.
Much more higher security than what they had, and Suzanne's not doing too well in the first episode. She often has mental problems and she's lapsing, and the way that they portray it is amusing, but you can still feel sympathy for her, that she knows that what she's seeing is probably not what's really happening, but she's super confused, and she has to keep talking to people saying, I need my meds. I don't need to go into, I guess, what you would call the mental institutional part of the prison. I just need to get on my meds so that I've got a chemical imbalance so I can get back to being, you know, relatively lucid in terms of being able to communicate with other people. And that's a storyline, however entertaining that they present it. That's a storyline that's real within prisons. You know,
of course.
People are in there because they've done something illegal whilst not of their clear mind, because they have been off meds, or they just haven't been medicated or whatever. So I think it's, even though it's entertainment, it's very interesting the way they portray things in a sympathetic manner to what's real.
Sure.
It's good. It's a good show.
It's a hard situation.
It's a good show.
Especially to put in a comedy.
Yeah, for people to be able to watch it without thinking, oh, this is too real.
Yeah.
I'm quite depressed. I wasn't in it for that. But the actress that plays her is just phenomenal anyway. She's, you cannot see her as anything but Suzanne. Okay. And then as soon as you see her being interviewed, you're like, sorry, who I don't understand what's going on here. But yeah, I've got like probably about a week left of watching that I can sort of drip feed myself and enjoy.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
What about you? What have you been watching?
Oh, so much stuff. So,
oh, such a Tom Vancer.
I know.
I always bring out the goods.
Look, I got a few things that I will skate past quickly. One, I watched a show called Auto Exotic.
And was it?
Not really.
So is it kind of, I don't know, they redo cars, they do them up?
It's just three guys that talk about cars they used to own and then drive them.
Okay.
So this was an episode about the Nissan Z. They'd all had one at some point in their life. They went to the Nissan factory. They each drove a car for a while. The episode ended. I don't know who these three guys are. They never introduced themselves.
Oh, okay. So they are under the impression that everybody knows who they are.
I just don't know. It really clearly highlighted how important the host chemistry is for one of those Top Gear-esque shows.
Yeah, right.
So that was 20 minutes I won't go back for.
Fair enough.
I watched one called Beachfront Bargain Hunt.
So these are people trying to find a really good deal on houses by the shore?
You got it.
Wow.
Do they want to live in first row, second row, or third row on beachfront communities?
See, I'm not sure personally, because at least here in Sydney, the further back you go in most suburbs that are by beaches, the higher up you are, the better view you've got.
Bingo. That's what this is a lot about. One of the houses they checked out, someone, like the people that lived there before them, built like a pirate mast type thing so you could climb up on top of the house and have a good look. It was cool.
So fun.
I don't know. It was a cool vibe. They were, you know, each place they looked at, they were considering where are we going to park the golf cart, because they don't want to have a car. They just want to have a golf cart. It's only a mile to town. Awesome.
They're living their life.
Yeah. So that was pretty good. I'm still watching that and My Aloha Dream Home. So I'm looking at a lot of beachfront property at the moment. Not that I'm planning on moving. I don't like the beach. Don't like the water. Scared of sharks. Speaking of sharks.
How is the rest of Shark Week for you?
Huge.
Did you watch something, at least something a day, shark-related?
Pretty much.
Awesome.
Pretty much. So Bear versus Shark. Obviously, it was Bear Grylls versus Shark.
I was intrigued to find out exactly what he was going to do.
Well, be placed in different dangerous situations. So.
Was he in South Africa at any point in time?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
Because that's where the great whites are,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't putting bear in with great whites. But they were putting him in with tigers and bulls, and
still
one's probably more likely to attack.
Hmm.
At one point, he jumped out of a helicopter onto a bunch of sharks that were swarming.
I don't want to do that.
Then chummed the water, so he jumped into the middle of them.
Why?
Because he's bear.
Oh, my gosh.
Then he swam to a tiny, like when I say tiny, I mean like the size of four cars long island.
Yeah.
Where he had to hang out for a while and catch his breath, and then the tide started coming in, so he had to go spearfishing, which spearfishing around sharks is real dangerous.
Because the second
the blood hits the water, they come and steal the fish.
Man.
And if you're attached to the fish, then they're going to go for you. So he did a bit of that. I learned that one of the key things that might entice sharks if you've been in a shipwreck is when you go to the toilet and you're in the water and you go to the toilet because you're floating around. So Bear said two things. One, if you have to wee, do it in small bursts. Do a burst, swim back. do a burst, swim back. So that way the warm patch isn't next to you.
Yeah, right.
And if you have to poop, poop into your hand and throw it away from you.
Look,
if because there's blood and all sorts of stuff in there.
Oh, right, okay.
So you want to get it away from you.
Wow.
Thanks, bear.
You know, though, if you ever end up in that situation, that little bit of info is going to grab you, and suddenly that's going to be the thing that you remember.
And it could literally save your life.
Yes.
Throwing your poop away from you like a monkey.
So good.
Yes. So that was
entertaining. I want to watch this now. I'm sure it's going to get repeated, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So this, as I said last week, this being the 30th anniversary, they got a lot of celebrities involved. Which
Shaquille O'Neal, I think
so
you
So that
said?
Was the next one I was going to talk about. Shaquille episode was great. He thought he was signing up for Shaq Week.
How did they get him through that?
Well, so he calls Kevin Hart at the beginning of the episode and they talk on FaceTime and Kevin can't come and help him out this week but sends Rob Riggle, who I promise you've seen in a ton of things, really funny comedian.
Yep.
He used to be a Marine, so he's there to be Shaq's support. The two of them travel to Dubai and basically they got to walk Shaq through a bunch of different small-level shark encounters to get him braver and braver to finally go out in the water.
It's baby steps.
And if you were to take a drink every time Bear Grylls says Shark Week, you'd be drunk. But if you took a drink every time Shaq said, I'm not doing that, you'd be flawless in 10 minutes. At one point they did a supercut that lasted like 20 seconds of him just going, I'm not doing that, I'm not doing that, I'm not doing that. Just...
So he had a hell of a time.
Oh, they set up, like, they put a tiny baby nurse shark with barely any teeth in a cage on the water, like, on the beach, and Shaq wouldn't get into it. He'd, like, poked his finger through some mesh to get at it. But as the episode goes on, he gets braver and braver, and I won't reveal what happens at the end, but it's pretty epic. Like, you see a dude face his fears.
Wow.
They had to build a special shark cage for him.
He's a very tall man.
They're sure that it's the tallest shark cage ever built. 12
feet tall.
So they're going
to keep it then because just in case?
Well, they put shark cage on in metal. He gets a lot of Shaquille O'Neal puns in there, which is great. And they show how they made flippers for Shaq, which is not something you'd ever consider, but the size of his foot is pretty much a standard size flipper. So they kind of got basketball shoes and attached them to flippers for him. That's and these insane. Things are like 3 feet long.
Oh my gosh.
So when he's got them on and he's in the water and stuff, he looks like a whale. Like if he puts his legs together and flaps those feet.
He's gone.
It's just huge.
That's hilarious. Do you remember last year, I think it was, Michael Phelps was trying to beat a shark, race a shark. Imagine Michael Phelps versus Shaquille O'Neal in those flippers.
It'd be pretty tight.
This needs to be next
now,
year.
Shaq can't swim very well.
Right.
He'll be the first to admit that. He likes a bit of doggy paddle.
Okay.
And this sort of stuff.
That's fine.
But, you know, they put him in a few controlled situations. So he goes swimming in a giant aquarium at a very fancy hotel called Atlantis in Dubai.
Oh, yes, yes.
This is the largest outdoor aquarium in the world or something like this. I don't know. I'm really into this place. Send him underwater and you can watch Shaq have a panic attack.
I would imagine Atlantis were there going, would we be able to sell tickets just to the public right now just to watch Shaq do this?
Oh, the people inside watching him do that, there was a lot of people there. But I mean, it's something hilarious about seeing a giant, like a 7 foot man.
He's so tall.
Afraid of a 3 foot shark.
He made other basketball players look tiny. On the court? Yes, that's what they call it.
They do.
The court.
They do. And there was so much great shark action throughout there. Went looking for Mega Shark again, but down in New Zealand this time.
Any luck?
I don't want to say.
Okay, fair enough.
There was another, I can't remember which one it was, but there was one where they found a shark called Deep Blue, who is probably the largest great white ever captured on film, 20 foot.
Yeah, that's kind of big.
It's huge.
That's pretty huge.
And it came right up to the shark cage this time. In the past, it's stayed away a little bit, but this time it was like right up in their face and it's terrifying.
That... 20 feet.
Yep.
That's a lot of shacks.
Yep. There was more talk about the Meg, trying to find the Meg. Megalodon, which there's a movie coming of that soon with Jason Statham.
Jeez, it must be soon.
It's only a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I'm very excited
There'll
for
be
it.
People watching it.
Him, Rainn Wilson from The Office, Mazzioca, who was on Heroes. Hero?
I know the name.
He's on Hawaii 5-0 now as well.
Oh, yeah, I know who exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ruby Rose.
Is that what she's doing?
Yeah, Cliff Curtis. It's a very Bing Bing Ling. International cast. Good stuff.
I hope they all do their own accents.
I hope so. And have fun fighting off like a 200-foot shark.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Look, it takes the whole world to solve that problem. Look, a little bit outside of watching stuff on TV, I feel like I was one of the last people to watch, go and see Book of Mormon.
Oh, yeah.
Book of Mormons, yeah. It was,
Pastor Eber.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. What a funny musical. I thought, well, I know who has created it.
Yep.
It's going to be offensive.
Yep.
And I think because I knew that, it wasn't as offensive as I thought it was going
to
be.
That's a very good way to describe it.
Having said that, I went with a group and one person there was quite offended. She was offended. Oh, how did she word it? And I'm pretty sure this is not what she meant, but she said, I'm offended because my friend's mother is a Mormon.
Mormons love that show. They said it's the best publicity they've ever gotten.
It was so much fun. So I went with Steph. She was there and a whole heap of other friends who have not been on the podcast. But, we were just laughing pretty much from the beginning to end. What a great, like the dance moves themselves are hilarious.
Excellent use of jazz hands.
Oh my gosh, the amount of jazz hands.
Turn it off. Like a light switch.
That's the one. Yep. That was my favorite bit. Oh, it was so much fun.
I love that one of my favorite places in the world now has a theme song, Orlando.
That's right, yes.
Like, oh, yeah, great show.
If you haven't been, you've got to go and see
it's
it.
It's well worth it.
Yeah, definitely. What have you been watching on the screen?
Okay, on the screen. So I checked out two episodes of a show called Hip Hop Houdini.
And?
It's awesome.
It sounds fun.
It's kind of like Dynamo.
Yep.
You know, up-close magician and stuff like that. But it's a guy named Smooth Dini.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Dominican.
Great name.
It's a great name. He's a Dominican hip-hop magician.
Yep.
And he hangs out in New York with different rappers. So each episode is hanging with a specific one. So the first episode was with A$AP Ferg. The second one was with Fat Joe, who you might remember did Lean Back.
Yes.
And he just kicks it with them for a day, you know, goes to their concert. And stuff, but more hanging out in the city, they take him to their favorite spots, restaurants, clothes stores, this sort of stuff.
Does once again, another job that is thousands of millions of people would want.
But at the beginning of the episode, he says, I'm going to hang out with you today, get to know you. And so by the end of the day, I can do a trick specifically tailored to you that makes me think of you.
So can you give us an example of one of the tricks?
So Fat Joe has quite a crew and Smooth Dini impresses them throughout the day, but there's one guy that's a firm non-believer.
Right.
And at the end of the day, Smooth Dini pulls a trick that involves Fat Joe's son, who's currently on the other side of the country.
Yeah, right.
That I won't give away the twist, but is very, very visually impressive. And the guy's just like, all right, that's it. I'm on.
He's on board.
You're magic. You are amazing. Magic.
I would think that people like that, like the non-believer would go, he's going to do some sort of card trick. They'll be easily explained. And then suddenly he pulls that, which sounds really intricate. And you just go, okay.
Yeah, there's some crazy stuff that this guy does.
What's it called again?
Hip Hop Houdini.
That sounds like a fun show.
It is. I'm on board for the rest. I did the season purchase.
So yeah,
the
great.
Rest will be pumping out.
Fantastic.
I also watched the first episode of a new Nickelodeon series called Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Is this animated?
It is.
Okay.
So about every 4 years, it appears that Nickelodeon reboots and generally does something cool and different. And this time they've really gone all out. The turtles are each based on a different type of turtle.
Oh, that's cool.
So they look very different. So, Donatello looks like a tortoise, has that long sort of thin neck, the head that tapers up. Raphael is a snapping turtle. And they've actually flipped things that Raph is now the oldest and the biggest because of the snapping turtle size and this sort of stuff. So he's the leader. And Leonardo is the one who's a little more snarky.
There you go.
So it's just a slight twist on the characters thus far.
And what age sort of bracket would you think this would be?
Oh, it's squarely aimed at kids or early teens.
Cool.
But, you know, I still got a bit of a kick out of it. The turtles have kind of mythically imbued weapons now. except for Donatello, who's like, I don't need magic mumbo jumbo, and has a bow staff that can have a hammer come out the end, or, you know, he's got his tech set up and stuff like that. I thought that was pretty cool.
No, that sounds really cool.
And then the other one, it's a twofer. It was a big one last night. The Comedy Central roast of Bruce Willis.
I've heard about this.
Yeah.
And?
Savage. Really savage. Some of the roastees. Joseph Gordon-Levitt was the host.
I really like him.
He's very good.
He's super endearing.
He's very smooth.
Mm.
So he was a great choice. Ed Norton.
Oh, yeah.
What
were they in together?
Moonrise Kingdom? Moonlight Kingdom? one of the most recent Wes Andersons.
He wasn't. No, Edward Norton definitely had no role in Pulp Fiction.
Nope.
No. Okay, sorry.
But Ed's, so lots of other cool guests, which I'll talk about in a second, but Ed specifically just talked about Bruce, didn't roast any of the other people up there, which was kind of not what you're supposed to do. You're meant to roast everyone and then end up on Bruce. But he instead did like this 10-minute monologue self-deprecating why he could never be Bruce Willis. Is it that Bruce Willis just keeps succeeding when he's got one facial expression and this sort of stuff? It was a really clever, interesting sort of dissection of a Hollywood action star.
Mm.
So that, he was great. Nikki Glaser, who you've seen on lots of things, very, very funny comedian. She went first and tore everyone apart, as is her style. Dennis Rodman was there for some reason.
Because he's Dennis Rodman. Can you just put him over there, please?
Thank you. Everyone took pot shots at him and he kind of came out and was just like, with Kim Jong-un.
That's what I was going to say. So there had to be a reference to that.
So a lot of that. Martha Stewart was there.
She's quite good with the old roast.
She is. Mm. She doesn't hold back. Sybil Shepherd.
Yeah, from Moonlighting. They were in that 80s show together.
Yeah, they don't really like each other.
Private Eyes or something? Really?
Well, I think they might have smoothed things over since then. But, you know, it was her show. She was meant to be the star. He was a bartender. They found him as a bartender and brought him up. And by the end of it, he was the star.
Yeah.
So there's clearly a bit of bad blood. They managed to sneak attack Demi Moore.
Okay, hang on.
So Demi Moore came out as a surprise and roasted him.
Fantastic.
It was great.
So I want to know how much people like Demi Moore and Edward Norton, and probably Sybil Shepherd as well, how much they write versus how much a writer writes for them?
I think for people like that, it's more they would pair up with a writer.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite ghostwrite. The ones that are just, so Martha Stewart, someone's writing jokes for her. And she's approving and disapproving this sort of stuff. I think that's pretty safe to say.
That makes sense, yeah.
Then you've got someone like Lil Rel Howery from Get Out. He was on, and his stuff was clearly off the cuff. No one writing for him.
Mm-hmm.
He used the opportunity to pitch a Die Hard movie starring the two of them.
Great.
It was brilliant because he said, and it can end with, I'll play your adopted son, Bruce, and it can end with me accidentally getting shot by a cop. So that just starts the cycle again Die Hard, because that's, that's why Al Powell, that's why he was behind a desk, because he shot a kid, man. Very, very clever way.
So 100% he would have so it makes sense now that you're saying it, that there would be various levels of writer involvement.
Yes. So and the fact that they had Demi Moore come out so close to him.
That's amazing.
It was great, but it also made sense why they had a few people that probably never met Bruce Willis before that were straight up comedians, so they could make really broad jokes or pick on the other people, because you had Demi Moore coming out and she said some really personal stuff.
Did she?
Yeah.
Was it more awkward?
Oh, yeah, but I'm not going to spoil anything of her section because it was just great. And then, it's not a secret that she's involved. They've shown it in trailers and things like that, but it was a secret to everybody there on the night.
So being able to watch their reactions, priceless.
Yes, very, very genuine.
That's great.
So that was great. And then directly afterwards, and this is the part I'm probably more excited for, was the first kickoff of the new season of Roast Battle, which I love my Roast Battle. So it's going to be on each night this week.
You're going to be busy.
I am. For all I know, it might be in the next 2 weeks if I'm real lucky.
Look, if you be a very good boy, dreams may come true.
Or they could switch it up and just do an episode a week, but I'm pretty sure that it's going to be how they've done in the past, where they've done a qualifying round each night and a final at the end.
Yep. Fun.
So Todd Barry was on last night's episode. If you don't know him, he's known as the Sleepwalking Viper.
Not many people are known as that.
The Sultan of Sarcasm.
So good.
He's very, very dry, and everything he says is kind of done in this tone. That's but he says really, really funny things.
My kind of comedian.
Yeah.
He'd be great on roast, actually.
He's great because someone else will say another joke and he'll just grab the mic back and just be like, yeah, that was a great joke. Thanks. And you can't quite tell if he's being genuine or not because of his tone. So he set things really well. And then the second round was there was a professional wrestler named Dolph Ziggler got involved. He was great.
So what kind of era is Dolph?
Dolph's now.
Now, okay.
Yeah, kind of the last – he's been around the last 10 years. He hangs out a lot with a character called – a guy named The Miz, and they are – intentionally almost vaudeville style over the top villains. Very, very conceited. Oh, look at our beautiful bodies, that type of thing.
Yep.
So I knew he was funny, and I don't know if he'd had some help writing some of his stuff.
But
the person he was up against was a really old friend of his who did like almost won Roast Battle 1.
Yeah, right.
So he was up against a titan, and the dude held his own. I mean, she destroyed him at the end. They're clearly good friends.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like she handheld him, but like the first round or two, it was almost like she was saying jokes that hurt him but set him up to rebut.
Yeah, I get you.
And then the final round, she just dropped that act and just sucker punched him to the ground.
It was always going to happen that way.
It was fantastic.
Fun.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Good fun. Well, I have been quite busy going out, and I went and saw Sydney Symphony Orchestra play the soundtrack of Empire Strikes Back whilst watching Empire Strikes Back.
How highfalutin and fancy is that?
Oh, man, it was so much fun. Can I just tell you, the very moment that 20th Century Fox thing comes up on screen, and to have a full-on symphony orchestra play that live for you,
cool.
I mean, usually I get the shivers up my spine anyway when I see that. When a new Star Wars comes out, oh, the shivers were just going crazy. And I found, so it was the first time I'd been to a Star Wars film where we had an intermission.
Wow, okay.
Because
at what point did they use one of the swipe cuts in the film?
So it was just after Luke Skywalker, Luke, sees Darth Vader in the swamp and he has that fight with him and then, you know, his face is in the mask. It was then that they cut it.
That's a pretty good spot.
It was a good spot to do it. And as I thought it was funny that the first half I watched mainly the orchestra because I thought, I've seen this a thousand times. Like, I grew up watching this. Second half is as it gets more exciting because Empire Strikes Back is a great film. And I kept having to go, no, Leah, stop looking at the screen.
Sure, watch the musicians.
Yeah, watch the musicians go for it. But it wasn't until the second act that I realized there was someone up there playing a harp. I couldn't hear it.
Okay.
Could not hear the harp at all.
In the mix.
Somewhere in the mix there. But the piccolos go crazy. There's a lot of piccolo and flute action.
So were they just doing the music or were they doing the special effects?
Not the special effects, okay, but the whole...
Okay, because I was going to say, how are they doing laser noises?
Yeah, I know. The laser noises were all still in the actual film. They had subtitles because obviously there were parts where the music was quite loud. Can I tell you, having watched an orchestra perform it as the movie's on, there aren't that many moments during the film where music is not being played.
Sure.
Which is very impressive. I would say if you get the opportunity to go and see an orchestra do one of the Star Wars films, go. I'm already gearing up for Return of the Jedi.
Nice.
I can't wait. I'm sad that I didn't even think to go to Star Wars, the first one.
Sure.
Probably won't go if they do the prequels. Look, side note, pretty sure they won't do them. But
why would you? It's not as classic music.
Why would you bother? But rookie error for Sydney siders.
What's that?
Is that when you think Sydney Symphony Orchestra, you assume you're going to the Opera House.
Yeah.
It's at the ICC down at Darling Harbour. Yeah. Big arena. Big theatre. I think it seats about 10,000. It wasn't as packed as I thought it would be.
Sure.
But I believe there's already been performances of it.
Okay.
But yeah, good fun. There were people dressed up and everything.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Great fun.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
What else have you been watching?
Well, I've got a few coming up this week.
Ooh.
That I'm very excited for. Outings. I'm going to the movies at least two times.
All right. So which one would you say you're most excited about?
Oh, it's difficult because they're scratching different itches.
Okay.
They're very close to each other. So tomorrow night I'm going to go and see Predators.
This is the one with what's-his-face from Game of Thrones?
Alfie Allen.
AKA
yes.
Theon/Reek. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how big his part is. I wouldn't be hanging for him to
be there
stick
at the
around
end. Yeah,
long.
I wouldn't think so either.
I think, well, it's got Sterling K. Brown, it's got Keegan-Michael Key, it's there's a Thomas Jane. The OG Punisher. Well, not the OG, that's Dolph Lundgren. A good, real good Punisher.
Yep.
This sort of stuff. And Shane Black writing and directing. Like, that's all I need to know.
I've seen a few people. I mean, I think it was the first trailer. Sort of, I mean, it was the internet, so they're always. Yeah, but they weren't as excited as I thought they should be because I thought the trailer looked pretty solid.
Yeah, I think the trailer looks solid. They're introducing a new predator, the one that's spliced its DNA with all the hunts and trophies it's collected. So that's cool.
Super unpredictable.
Well,
not only for the people like, you know, Alfie who will be up against them, but also the audience.
Yeah, well, I love the Predator mouth, the way it opens all weird. This thing has a thing, like its mouth opens more than that.
Wow.
I'm sold on that.
It's like the McLean's toothpaste ad guy who literally just opens his mouth and is like, yeah, full on 180.
Yes, so that. And then Thursday we get, and our American listeners have enjoyed it for almost a week now, mm-hmm. Mission Impossible 6, a.k.a. Fallout.
Surprisingly, from what I've read, people are liking it.
I'm hearing best action movie ever.
Which is...
a bold claim.
Because we're this far into the franchise.
Six.
And also, people have gone a little off Tom Cruise over the past sort of 10 years. Is this sort of the return of Tom?
I don't know if it's the return so much as it might be the full stop on Mission Impossible. I've heard a lot of talk that the two of them wanted to go out on the highest note possible.
Was this the film that he broke his ankle?
Yes.
Okay.
Doing the jump.
Yeah, doing the jump from one building to another.
Yeah, so apparently it's all on display there. It's the same writer, director as number 5.
Okay.
Christopher McQuarrie, who also wrote on number 4.
Now, you said you watched those recently.
Yes.
Which one was out of 4 and 5, which did you prefer?
Oh, it's a tough call. Probably 5.
Do you feel that 5... will lead straight into 6?
Yes, 100%.
Because I haven't seen it.
Okay. That it has a if you know your James Bond, it has a Blofeld-style villain who is someone that appears across several of them as a bigger bad.
Yep.
That's continuing on.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, look, come back next week and let us know because, it's supposed to be good.
I'm going to enjoy a cupcake later today because it's the 20th anniversary of The Parent Trap.
Oh, no way.
Yep. So I think we should celebrate because not many people are going to celebrate Lindsay Lohan.
No.
What?
The original Parent Trap was Hayley Mills from Pollyanna.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm going to throw names out left, right, and center. I know. Wow, that was a lot of watching that we've done, particularly you, because I was out at the theatre.
Yeah, you were out being highfalutin. I watched other things too, but we don't need to talk about all of them.
Yep, same.
We talk about Godzilla all the time. Yeah, I watched Godzilla again.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it. I watched some Keeping Up Appearances, particularly after you sent me a hilarious little photograph.
Wasn't that a bit much?
Was hilarious.
A little bit of a naughty meme starring everyone's favourite Hyacinth Bouquet.
Don't call her Bucket.
Don't call her Bucket.
Don't call her Bucket. All right, well, I've got a quiz ready for you then.
Okay.
This one was not inspired at all. It just came out of left field where I went, I wonder how many, and it led me into who's hosted SNL the most. So we're going to go from 6th to 1st, and you can just throw names in. So we're not going
to
go.
They don't need to be in order.
Not need to be
all
in
right,
order.
Steve Martin is number 1.
Funnily enough, Steve Martin is number 2 with 15 times.
Oh, so okay, so it's got to be Steve Martin,
yep.
Martin Short.
Not Martin Short. I thought I was expecting Martin Short on there as well.
Okay, Tim Blake.
Not Tim Blake. I need you to think about someone else.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah, Tom Hanks has been 9 times.
Mm-hmm.
Now at number 6.
Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin's number 1, 17 times. Remember,
because
he's
of
been
Trump. Okay, yeah.
He's been Trump.
That's very iffy. Let Steve Martin keep his title.
Well, there's another guy who's sneaking up at 13 times. I'll give you some clues. He was for about 3 weeks, about a month ago, out of work after having just picked up an old job that he used to have. He's now back in that role again.
John Goodman. Okay.
Yeah, he's done it 13 times.
Sure.
Now, there's one more that you're going to know because there was one guy that I had no idea who he was. But in sixth place, hosted it 8 times, used to be on Saturday Night Live.
Eddie
back
Murphy?
In the old, no, older, older days.
Eugene Levy? No, that's...
No. He has been in Community, in National Lampoon Vacation.
Oh, Chevy Chase.
Yeah, he was 8 times. Now, coming in at 4th place was a guy who has hosted it 10 times between 1976 and 1980, so the super early days. No, I'd never heard of him. His name is Buck Henry. Hmm. He apparently was a writer in Hollywood and in the early days had... I think up until like the first couple of years of SNL was sort of like their semi-regular host.
Okay.
So that's why he was in it so much. But Buck Henry, when I saw his face, I went, nope. And I read up on him a bit more. If you've seen 30 Rock and you remember Tina Fey's father, that's him. I don't remember. I just remember her family was super lovely.
Oh, I'm trying to remember someone else that might be near up that list. Is Elliot Gould perhaps near the top of the list?
Oh,
because I remember there was a, it's probably 15 years old now or something, but there was a segment of the Five Timers Club.
Yeah, the Five Timers. There's quite a lot of them. Even so Drew Barrymore.
There,
yeah, Christopher Walken's actually, I think, around 7 or 8.
Yeah.
You've got, obviously, people like Tina Fey, you know, those post-Saturday Night Live guys who
Robert
keep coming back.
Robert De Niro would be in that
He was there. Yeah, big list, actually, in the Five Timers Club. Because it's a thing,
for
the Five Timers Club.
Get a fancy jacket.
What does Alec Baldwin get when he does 20? He's got to get something, right? And they can't just give him Trump's wig.
No.
He wouldn't want it.
Alec Baldwin would want a good gift.
That's right.
He would expect a good gift.
Otherwise, things are going to happen.
Yep.
And you want to
leave
the
building. Angry voicemails are going to be left. You disgusting little pig. How could you be engaged to Justin Bieber? Is that the same one?
No, I thought it was, but it's not.
Hayley,
Justin
not
Bieber
Hayley.
Is Justin Bieber's fiance is Stephen Baldwin's daughter. Stephen Baldwin is the blonde guy.
Yeah, I know Stephen Baldwin.
Sorry.
Come on, he's been a very lesser Baldwin for a long time.
There's only one Baldwin lesser than him.
Adam?
Yeah, I don't even know his name. That's how lesser he is.
There's 4 Baldwins.
Yeah, there's a Billy.
It's like a...
Sometimes he's known as William, depending on how serious he wants to be. I haven't seen him in a while. But Alec Baldwin's daughter was going out with someone semi-famous.
Because it's Hayley Baldwin that's engaged to...
To Bieber.
Bieber. And that's Billy Baldwin's son? William?
No, it's Stephen.
Stephen.
Yeah.
So it's Stephen, Billy, Adam... Alec.
Alec. And I'm going to say Alec's the oldest.
Seems fair.
He seems more
He's the most powerful. He's the one that's stolen life force.
Therefore, he wins. And can I say you won the quiz?
Sure. I'll take it.
Yeah.
There was a few offs.
You were never going to get the Buck Henry one, but I had to put him in there simply because he was smack bang in the middle of everybody else.
You can't pretend he wasn't there because he was there.
If you've got any quiz ideas, make sure you email us or send them to us on Facebook and we'll throw them in. See if we can stump Tom.
Time to a brick, throw them through a window. Not even our window,
just
our window.
Yeah, but don't say we had anything to do with it. No. Tom, thank you very much.
It's been my real pleasure. Today, no silliness, just good times.
Wow.
Double thumbs.
Thumbs up.